Praise God. Good to be in His presence. Amen. Just a good spirit in the house, the presence of God. In Job 23, we get a glimpse of just how big our God is. We are so thankful tonight that He's on the throne. Amen. And that He can't be shaken, nor His will thwarted. Amen. And what God has purposed, the plans that are in His heart cannot be thwarted by any power, any principality. There's nothing that man can do to thwart the will of God, nor any principality. Amen. But look at verse 10. He says, but He knows the way. He knows the way that I take. And we're thankful that our steps tonight are ordered by the Lord. Amen. That word ordered means established or set right. The steps of a good man, a person in right standing with God, a recipient of the grace of God, a child of God, our steps are ordered by the Lord. Praise God. No coincidence. It's not fate. It's divine guidance. He's ordering your steps and He hasn't forgotten us. Can you say praise God? He knows us by name. We mentioned the other night, He knows the hairs on our head. Each one of them is numbered. And even in the reduction process, He's able to calculate and know how many we have. Dave, I got more than you, man. Oh, I'm sorry, I take that back. Your beard wins. The steps of a good man, ordered by the Lord. You see in the Psalms, just that prayer in the heart of the psalmist and other men who wrote, Lord, show me Your way. And we do know the way, amen. But show me Your way. Teach me Your ways. It says that the children of God fell in the wilderness because they did not know what? God's what? God's ways. They didn't have a heart that hearkened to the voice. They didn't know His ways. Therefore, they didn't know His character. They didn't know His attributes. They didn't know His heart. They didn't have a relationship with Him. But because we have a relationship with Him, it's a personal relationship. He's not just God. He's my God. He's your God. Amen. He's not just Father. He's our Father. Praise God. When you seek Him in prayer, and we need to be stirred up again and seek in the face of God. Amen. To not lose heart in prayer. But like it says in Luke 18, that men ought always to pray and not faint. We need to pray without ceasing, and that spirit that was stirred in us regarding prayer and intercession and pursuit, we don't want to lose that, beloved. And if any of you have, I just want to encourage you tonight, go back to putting Jesus first. If you've lost your first love, get it back, praise God. If your heart's been drifting, if you've been backsliding internally, run back to Jesus, praise God. He's an ever-present help in time of trouble, and let Him be your refuge. And the scripture says in Isaiah, He goes before us and His glory is our what? Our rear guard. And though the enemy comes in, may come in like a flood at times, what does the Spirit of God do? Lift up a standard against them. Amen. So if God's for us, who can be against us? More than conquerors through Him who what? Loved us. And I'm persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm persuaded that what I've committed unto Him, my life, right? My whole life, I've put it all that I am and all that I have. I am persuaded that what I have committed unto Him, He's able to what? Beloved, that's comforting, reassuring that He's able to keep it until what day? It's the day of His coming, the day that I rest and I stand in His presence. He's able to keep what I've committed unto Him against that day. And then listen to what else Paul said. I know in whom I don't just know what I believe. I know in whom I've believed. Can you say praise God for that? We have a relationship. And what does the scripture say about that? That the people who know their God shall be what? Shall be strong. So what is the answer to your problem tonight? Know Him. Doesn't matter what the problem looks like or what type of problem it is. sorrow, discouragement, bondage. It doesn't matter whatever your need is. Maybe you need to be filled tonight with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence, praise God, of that prayer language tonight. Anyone believing for that? Why not tonight? Why not be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight in the name of Jesus? It's the promise of the Father, and Jesus is the baptizer, and He promised it to everyone who believes. And these signs shall follow them that believe. But it doesn't matter what the problem looks like. What type of problem, adversity, trial, test, temptation, whatever the stronghold, whatever the battle is, there's one simple solution. I need to get in His presence. And that's what Jesus said in Luke 10. One thing is needed. Martha was pretty caught up trying to get it all right and serving, getting everything right for Jesus. Not a bad thing to do if it's time to do it. Right? Everything has a time and a season. She was doing the right thing in the wrong season. A good thing in the wrong season. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Man, the longing of our hearts to just be at His feet and to be able to hear what He's speaking to us right now. I believe He has a now word for our lives, and He just wants us to be close enough and intimate enough and in pursuit of Him enough to be able to hear what His heart and His Spirit is transferring into our hearts and our spirits. Leaning on the bosom of Jesus, in communion, under the shadow of the Almighty, abiding in Him, in communion with the Holy Spirit, praise God, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. But He knows you're not forgotten. He knows you by name. Scripture says your name is engraved. It's written in the palm of God's hand. Your name's written in the book of life. How powerful that is. Even when they went out, the 70 were sent out and they saw the demonstration of power pulling down Satan's power. And He said, I saw Satan fall like heaven, from heaven like lightning. And they were excited, man. They were rejoicing. He said, but rejoice more than that, that you know Me and that your names are written in heaven, that you have a relationship. How is your relationship tonight with Jesus? How's your relationship with Jesus tonight? Are you getting good time with Jesus? He wants to reveal. He wants to speak. He wants to refresh. He wants to revive us. He wants to free us. He wants to renew our hearts and our minds. He wants to get your mind back off from earthly things, back on eternal, spiritual, heavenly things. Where we're fighting the good fight of faith and laying hold on eternal life. He knows the way that I take, and when He's tested me, I shall come forth as gold. And I just wanted to encourage you tonight. He knows how much we can take. Amen. It seems at times that this is beyond what I can handle. And you know, He wants to take you beyond what you can handle. So you can enter into a realm that you haven't known that's called the realm of grace. The realm of the supernatural. Where it's beyond what you understand or beyond your own ability. Beyond your faith. Because God is not limited to our faith. Amen? But aren't you thankful that He said even if you have faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain? I just want to encourage you tonight. Don't underestimate who He is in you. You might see yourself as a grasshopper tonight, but that's not who God is. Nothing that happens in your life reduces the size and the greatness and the majesty and the magnitude of our God. There's nothing that we go through in this life that changes how big and how awesome He is. What a mighty God. And He's able. He's able to deliver. He's able to set you free. He's able to make you who He called you to be. And the work is continuing as He promised to yet perfect what concerns you. And faithful, He says, is He who calls you, who will do this work of sanctifying us completely. When He has tested me, I'll come forth as gold. So what do you do when you're being refined? When it's uncomfortable, when God is just pressing you sore and bringing chastening into your life to work that character of Christ-likeness in us. What do we do when the hand of God is upon us to humble us, to crush us, and He's trying to bring us to that place of dependence, that place where we're able to go, Uncle, I surrender again, like that spirit that you see in Jacob where he's wrestling with the angel and God just snapped his hip out of joint and he wanted to just break him and change his name and change his heart from a deceiver, someone who had the heritage of God, someone who had the upbringing in God, but he didn't have his own encounter. He wasn't yet broken. He wasn't yet the man God was wanting him to be. And he was wrestling with God, man. And his hip was dislocated. But he encountered God. Lord wanted to bring him to that place of falling on the rock and just being needy. And scripture says, God will not allow you to be tempted past, right? He won't allow you to be tested or tempted past what you're able to stand, praise God. He'll not allow it. Can you say praise God for that? God is not going to allow you to go through something that His grace won't enable you to stand in. And with the temptation or test or trial, right, that He wants us to count all joy, can you say amen? And in everything give thanks. And for everything give thanks. It's hard to come out of the trial when we're moping, beloved. Way out of the trial, man, is embrace the cross. Embrace the purpose of God. Embrace the purification. Embrace the death to yourself. And embrace whatever He's wanting to break in you, free you from, take from you. Just whatever He's wanting to do, the sooner you embrace it and you say, God, you're good. I don't need to understand. And you just do like Job did. After everything got taken away in the beginning, it says, he just tore his clothes. He began to worship God. He said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, and it says he worshiped. And he didn't sin with his lips at that point. We so desperately want to understand. We would never think so, but we want God to answer to our intellect. We want our intellect, our mind appeased. We want to see. We want to know. We want to understand. I'll trust you, but where's it going to end up? And he's going, what's wrong with just trusting me? How do you trust him without knowing where it's going to end up? You know him. Then you get to know his character. And as you know him, he begins to reveal, I'm good. I'm long-suffering. I'm merciful. I'm a God of love. I'm a God of justice. I'm a God of truth. I'm a God of righteousness. I'm a jealous God. I'm a consuming fire. He begins to reveal, as he did in Moses' life, when Moses said, look, if you're not going to this place where we're going to get all this that you've promised, and you're going to send your angel, Moses said, I don't want to go. If you're not going, I don't want to go. A lot of blessings that were being spoken of, and all kind of blessings sound pretty good when you've been in a wilderness for a long time. They sound good. Well, as you didn't dig. To think about where they were and how good those promises sounded. And Moses said, if you're not going, I don't want to go. What a heart for God. But when God revealed himself and gave him that revelation and put him in the cleft and said, I'll let you see my hinder parts. Then God began to reveal his names. The Lord God, the Lord merciful, long suffering. He began to reveal who he is. We don't need to understand what he's doing. We need to know him. We need to know his attributes. We need to know his ways, his wisdom, his word, which most purely and accurately and clearly reveals him. And you can't know his word and know him through his word without being in communion with him through the Holy Spirit. The life of the word of God. God speaking to you life through his word because you're in communion and in hot pursuit of him. The psalmist said, my heart pants. My heart pants after you. My heart longs for you. As the deer longs for the water brooks. The longing for the presence of God. Maybe real quick, finish that verse in 1 Corinthians 10 before we come back here to Job. Even in verse 12, it says, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. That tendency to think we know, to think we're to trust in ourselves, to trust in our perception of ourselves. It becomes dangerous also to trust in our perception of others instead of knowing them by their fruit, by their lifestyle, knowing them through relationship with a heart of love that is interested in their care, their welfare, preferring them, ready to lay down our lives for one another. The greater love that John 15 talks about. Many times we don't know our own hearts. Let us not think we know somebody else's motive. It's so hard to know our own. And the scripture says the only thing that can discern between our thoughts and our motives, our intents, is the word of God. And I'm not the word of God. Even Jesus said in the end, he said, I'm not going to judge. The word's going to judge. Heaven and earth will pass away. But the word of God doesn't pass away. Paul said, I don't judge even myself. But there's a righteous judge we'll all give an account to in that day. And as we heard this morning, who are we to judge another man's servant to his own master? He stands or falls. But it says, but God is able to make him stand. Praise God. Love that verse in Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from what? Falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy to God who alone is wise. Your God's able to make you stand if you trust in him, if you keep your eyes on him. But man, we're in a day and an hour where we need more faith. The true faith that works by love. Man, I mean, that's why Jesus asked the question, when I return, will I find faith on the earth in this hour? In the hour of my return, he says, when I come in that hour, will I find faith in my people? The same Lord also said, there's going to be many who become cold. Revelation says some who are going to become lukewarm. Revelation says some are going to lose their first love. Timothy says some are going to depart from the faith. Jesus said many's love will grow cold. And Jesus said, when I come, will I find faith? It's going to be hard to have faith if you're not hanging out with Jesus. Amen. Isn't that where faith comes from? Audience, hanging out with Jesus? How are we going to get faith if we're not abiding in the word and the word's not abiding in us, right? Faith comes by hearing. You hang out with Jesus. You hang out with his word. How are you doing in your relationship with Jesus through his word? How's your prayer life tonight? Maybe it's time to dig deeper. To make more time for Father in your life and the times where you are doing, as we heard this morning, the mundane, the day-to-day stuff. You stay in a spirit of communion where you realize we pray without ceasing. You can't wait till you get up here in prayer or those special places you have in at home or wherever you go in your car. Those are precious times where we close the door. Amen? Where Jesus said, close the door, close everything out and get time with me. But we pray without ceasing. He's alive in us. We have communion with him. Don't be so legalistic that you're waiting for your quiet time and Father's speaking to us throughout the day. And sometimes he's just putting it on your heart. Just begin to worship me right now. Just begin to pray for so-and-so right now. Just begin to lift up Africa, Pastor Rob or whatever's going on. I know many of us know exactly what I'm talking about. Verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Let me stop there for a minute. How many times do we feel like, man, it just seems like I keep going through stuff. Do you ever feel that way? It just seems like, why am I always going through stuff? Everybody else seems to have joy and peace and free, and it just seems like it's me. You ever feel that way internally? It just seems like you know better, but you feel like it's just me. It's not just you. It's common to man. Peter, if you want to look at another verse like that, 1 Peter 5, it's common to the brotherhood in the world. It's not just you battling flesh and lust of the flesh and the eyes and the pride of life. It's not just you having to battle self-will. It's not just you having to battle thoughts. And sometimes you're wondering, where did that come from? Spend less time analyzing where it came from and recognize this is not of God. Pull it down. Instead of asking, well, why? You don't have to know why. If it's not of Jesus, pull it down, praise God. If it doesn't agree with the word, pull it down. Take the name and the authority of Jesus that you have and pull that thing down if it doesn't agree with the word. If you're thinking something that doesn't believe the best about someone, pull it down. Its origin can't be God. It disagrees with the word. That's why we need the word abiding in us. It's a discerner. Our steps are being ordered by the word. He's ordering our steps in the Holy Spirit and by the word. And the Holy Ghost, as we walk in the Spirit, is leading us into all truth, into the attributes of God, into the fruit of the Spirit, into the gifts of the Spirit. He's leading us into Christ's likeness to walk in and follow in the steps of Jesus. You're not the only one, praise God. It's common to all men, but God is, and here's the key. Here's the key to deliverance when you're in any kind of trial. Here's a key to just staying, keeping your joy. It's just recognizing God is faithful. No matter what I'm passing through, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not minimizing anything that we go through. That's not my point. But no matter what it is, God is faithful. He's not a man that he'd lie. His word will not return void. His promises toward you, child of God, are yes and amen in Christ. He watches over his word. He watches over your life. Take the burdens and cares and worries and troubles of your heart regarding what any matter that you might be battling or weighed down with, and just take those cares and those burdens and roll them over on Jesus. Have you ever, in dealing with anyone you know, or just have you ever heard yourself in life going, hey man, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I don't want to be a bother. Or have you ever maybe not said it but thought it? I'll do this. I don't want to be a bother to anyone. You ever felt that way? Can you remember when Peter didn't want the Lord to be bothered with his feet? Y'all remember that? Don't bother. I got this. You can't wash my feet. Don't want to be a bother. I want to tell you something. We all battle with that because it's the pride of just don't want to be a bother. You know, I don't want to need anything from anyone. So we tend to be independent and just don't want to be a bother. You can't be a bother to Jesus. Your problems don't bother him. He doesn't get annoyed with your troubles. I mean, you think, well, yeah, I mean, that's obvious. Sure, Pastor. I'm telling you, we deal with that. Don't want to be a bother. I don't want to be so needy that I'm the cripple that the Lord, I don't want to be like Mephibosheth. But that's who we are in ourselves apart from Jesus. Where did he die though? God's trying to help us see how helpless that we're cripples in ourselves and we're trying to prove I'm not a cripple. I do this. And God's going, okay, your time's coming. We're going to wrestle. The sooner we're broken, the more amendable, available, the more God can use us, the more I like how Brother Caio says it. He said, just be at the building site. And if God needs you for anything, he'll let you know. Just be at the building site. Just being available, praise God. And there's plenty to do. So if you're available, he's going to use you. There's souls to reach. There's people to be edified. There's intercession needed. There's care needed in our homes. There's always something that can be done in the kingdom. We just need to be hanging out with Jesus so he know where he's, we let him direct us. God is faithful. And you're in that trial. You don't feel like praising. Sometimes we don't feel like praying. Sometimes we don't even feel like seeking God. And we just choose not to go by our feelings. Can't tell you how many times I've had great times with Jesus when I didn't feel like it. Just didn't feel like it. Some of my best times. Didn't feel like thanking him. And just start thanking him. Didn't feel like praising him. And start a praise you, Jesus. Lord, forgive me for my attitude. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, God. Change my heart. You're so worthy. Lord, how could I not be thankful? Forgive me for my apathy. Lord, you're so worthy of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. And all of a sudden, it starts going a different direction. You start hanging out with them. Becomes faith rising up. Can't give in to how you feel. Can't turn off the praise at the end of the month. Whatever you're battling with at the end of the month. Guy or gal. could be a deadline for accounting or other things. Doesn't change who God is. Amen? We deal with things, man. We deal with things that are real, that are painful, that are hard. And our steps are being ordered. He leads us in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. He leads me beside. Now, for me, I prefer still waters. You know, I like still waters. But I like the bustling of a powerful ocean too. Powerful waves. But the fact is, we do walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. And our steps are ordered there, right? The Holy Spirit led Jesus there. He leads us there. The captain of our salvation learned obedience through what He suffered, through what He endured. And He's there as the author and finisher of our faith to teach us His ways, to help us draw from His grace. You know, He's touched with our infirmities. He knows what you're going through. He knows what your thought battle, the battle in your mind is right now. He knows the battle in your home. He knows the battle in your heart. Let Him in. Because He says, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking, and what I want you to do is let me come and take control. Well, that's really what's on my heart tonight. God is in control. And we try so hard, whether it's consciously or not thinking that's what we're doing, we try so hard to control things and be in control, and God is working everything to free us from us being in control and being at rest that He's in charge. He's in control. Not only that, okay, I concede. I surrender. God's in control. You get to the place where you delight and your faith is in the fact that He's in control. And you feel safe in your spirit that He's in control. And you're scared to think that you're apart from trusting that He's in charge and in control and knows best and does best. And He does it right. And He does what's appointed for you at the right time and the right way. And the hardest part is, I don't understand. And being able to go, you know what? Faith is not based on understanding. Faith is based on a relationship. Faith is based on God's word, God's promises. And them being real in your heart at a given time depends on your trust, where your trust is. And where your relationship is. See, because you can know the Bible, you can know the verse. But when you know Him, when you're walking with Him, when your heart is in communion with Him, He's quickening that word to you. And He's saying, I got this. Peace be still. He speaks to you. That still small voice. If you're turning to Him and looking to Him and you're opening the door for Him as He's knocking, because when He's knocking in Revelation, what is He looking for? He's looking for repentance. He's looking for recognition. He wants you to worship. He wants you to look to Him, trust in Him, wait on Him. He wants you to be at rest that what He plans for you is good. He wants you to be assured of His goodness and His love, and that you don't believe Satan's accusations against your Father that say, He's going to leave you hanging this time. He's not going to come through. You're going to die. This is going to happen. You're able to pull those lies down. The origin. Where did they come from? If it's not the character of God, if it doesn't agree with the word, the origin ultimately is satanic. It's worldly and satanic. It's origin. Just waiting on Him, man. His timing. That battle to lean to our own understanding. And when we're not at rest in His timing, our minds are trying to figure things out and our minds get anxious. And we try to help God out and help His agenda out. And He's just working all things according to the counsel. Right. He's sitting there working. He's on the throne working all things out according to the counsel as well. And he trying to reel you back in. He's like, I don't need your help. Just stop advising. Start worshiping. Just, you're thinking of yourself too highly. I don't need your advice. You want to be free. You want to be at rest. Just start worshiping. Worship and commune with God in your heart. Yes. And let your lips extol God. We use our mouth and our lips for so many words in this life. And I believe with all of my heart it would do you well and me well to have more of our words directed to His Majesty. It'll do good for your lips. It'll do good for your heart. It'll do good for your spirit. It'll do good for your soul. It'll bring you into more intimacy. It'll drive some of the oppression at times. It'll drive back oppression. It'll drive back the attack of the enemy, the barrage that comes against our minds. It causes us to begin to reflect again on the promises of God, on the Word, on who God is in our lives, what He's done, how He's brought us to where we are. When we're battling discouragement in a present situation and we lose sight of all the times that God has delivered us faithfully, can you say praise God? Until this time? And now there's something He can't handle? What's impossible for God? There's nothing too hard. There's nothing too difficult. He's not intimidated by any trial or by anything that the enemy can bring. God cannot be defeated, not even once. He doesn't even take a jab from the enemy. He doesn't even get his head knocked back one time. I don't know if you all are into boxing at all, but remember, if you, any of you remember the fight, the No Mas, where Roberto Duran got so frustrated with Sugar Ray Leonard that he just said, forget this, No Mas. My memory of that is I don't remember Duran being able to get even one punch in on Leonard's face in that fight. Not, he didn't graze him. That was one fight though. The fight before that, Duran beat him good. God doesn't even get grazed. I'm not saying underestimate the enemy. I'm just saying he's no match for our God. Praise God. Look at Isaiah chapter 9. God is faithful. And it went on to say, He'll not allow you to be tempted past that you're able to stand. And with the temptation or the test, He makes a way of what? He makes a way of, who makes the way? You want to know what gets us in trouble, right? Man, we're bobbing and weaving, trying to get the way of escape. We're looking for the way out, man. We're looking for that little crevice we can't fit through. We're trying to get the way of escape. And God's saying, are you going to let me bring it to pass? Or are you going to keep getting in the way so I got to humble you again? He makes the way of escape that you might be able to, that you might be able to bear it. I thought He was just going to make a way of escape and that means I'm out. I'm out of this. He gets you out when His eternal purpose has worked its course in you. Can you say praise God? And we're going to understand that. How are we going to understand? We're clay. The Bible says we're clay. He's potter. We're sheep. He's shepherd. I mean, I don't think sheep do dumb stuff because they think they know. They just, if you watch them, I've kind of been around some sheep and they just go where they shouldn't go. You say, well, why are they wired that? I don't know. But if you just watch them, you're sitting there grazing, they'll go right over a cliff sometimes. They get in trouble. They're in the thicket. Be a wolf right over there. And they're just grazing. If the shepherd's not helping them, they'll just graze right over to where the wolf is. Human species is likened to sheep by God, but we think we know. Because everything in us wants to be God. That's the battle with the Adamic nature. We want to be God. We want to replace God. We want to prove we can do it. We want to take pride, credit. We want to be able to announce what we've achieved, what we've done. That's what we battle with. Independence. It is hard to get older and be childlike. I was checking out Brooks and Timmy's baby the other day. Tara said, you gotta go see that baby. That's a cute baby. So I was looking for it, man. And that baby, of course, it was very cute. Sorry, Timmy, because it looked like Brooke. But that's not true. They're a good looking couple. But that baby was just chilling out, man. I mean, it was just like, it didn't have a care in the world. I'm looking at that. And I felt like the Lord was dealing with me at that point. He was like, can you be that chilled out and trusting me? I mean, that baby was just clueless. It was just being held. It was totally dependent. The Lord told His own apostles that that's how He wanted them to be in the Spirit. like a child. It's hard when you have and own and have achieved and grown and think you know and seen some victory. It's hard to be childlike. So what does it make the cry of our hearts in prayer? Lord, make me childlike. I am so prideful. Peter was thinking he had a better idea at one time and telling the Lord how to fish. And you know, guys, he's an experienced fisherman. It caught nothing. And it wasn't the one in John 21. It was another time. And he's like cast on the other side. And Peter started basically telling him, hey, that's not really how it works. And he finally did it and he catches and he goes, I'm a sinful man, oh Lord. I'm messed up. Sorry. He's merciful. He knows our frame. I'm not saying he justifies our pride, but he knows. He knows that we're not there yet, but he knows our hearts are wanting to be. And he's working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Can you say praise God? He's begun this work in us and he's committed to see you through. Praise God. I know in whom I've believed and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed unto him against that day. You're in Isaiah 9. I'm in Mark. That's a problem. Unto us a child is born, verse 6. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Now look, the governments of the whole world, okay, are on God's shoulder. And scripture says in Psalm 24 that the earth is the Lord's, right? And the world and they that what? Dwell therein. This whole thing was created by God. And I'm sitting there worrying about my problems. It's like Jesus goes, where's your faith? Why don't you trust me? Why don't you believe that I want to do you good? It's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I'm not going to withhold any good thing from you. I'm going to I promise to daily load you with benefits. And I know what you have need of before you ask. And I'm not always going to give you what you want. I may never give you what you want. It just depends what you want. But I will do exceeding abundantly beyond everything you ask and think. But what I give you will be for your good. And the fact is, a lot of times, we're not happy with how God made us. Sometimes we're not happy with our names, our hair, our color, our feet. We're not happy with a lot of things. And the Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. We were made for the glory of God. Who are we to question the one who made us, right? We need to be at rest and just thankful. Fearfully, wonderfully made. Intricately woven. God is a perfect designer. He didn't do anything wrong. Man, Brother Caio called the other day and I was on my way to Gambrel's and it just blessed my heart. And Tara was driving a little bit. I was wanting some extra time with Father, and she was driving, being a blessing. And I'm sitting there just having a good time with the Lord, other than a couple frustrations with traffic, or my traffic app, whatever you want to call it, because sometimes they miss it at the wrong time. And he calls, and he's like, "I'm getting ready to go preach." He just finished preaching, so he's pumped, man. He's like, "God's moving, brother," and he goes, I'm not getting this. People are trying to like use prayer to force the hand of God. He said, God already promised it. He wants to do it. He was just saying, just know him and then you know his heart and then you can be ready to receive what he's doing. Get on board, he was saying, what he's doing. And he said, people are going to the mountain to pray and they're fasting. And he said, I'm not against prayer, of course, but you don't use prayer to get God. You don't inflict your understanding of God's word on God. You get quiet and know his heart. You commune with him. He drops into your spirit what he wants. You're walking in his known, revealed will. You're walking at peace in who he is. God is love. God is merciful. God is holy. You're walking in what you know. And if there's something else, he reveals it. Stop trying to satisfy your mind and let your heart be full of the Holy Spirit and worship and praise. And exalting God, developing a habit of just expressing your thanks, expressing with words the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. Just go a step beyond where you've been, beloved. Not just here in corporate praise and worship, but in your own life, when you're alone, when you're at home, nobody else sees, exercising yourself in praise and worship, praying in the Holy Spirit, using, those of you who have the prayer language, using the prayer language, building yourself up on your most holy faith. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful. That's the Jesus that we serve. That's the Jesus that we know. He's wonderful. He is delightful. He is distinguished. He is unique. There is no one like him, no one that can be compared to him. He's almighty. The names of God are awesome. It's not on my heart right now to go down, but the names of God themselves are awesome. His name is above every name. At his name, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess of those in heaven, on earth, and beneath, it says in Philippians, beneath the earth. What an exalted name. That's who Jesus is alive in us. Oh, that our faith and our hearts would be stirred to who he is in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That your heart would be stirred tonight to say, I want to know Jesus more. And whatever it takes, whatever's got to go, it's secondary. And the more you taste, the more you'll realize how much you've been robbed by the temporal, by the natural, and it wasn't worth it. It left you empty. Until you go back to the well and refill and let Jesus breathe new life into you. And breathe life into the areas that are apathetic, that are dead, or where you've lost victory, or you've lost faith. And he begins to refresh and revive and heal and deliver and draw you to himself as you press in. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government. Of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. What an awesome God. And I just went over there to say, he's in control and he doesn't need our help. He doesn't need our advice. He's just looking for faith, childlike faith, trust, reliance. Helpless in ourselves, but not just a passive helplessness. Oh, I'm nothing. I can't do anything. No, helpless in ourselves, but just ready to receive all the faith he wants to place in you. The faith of God, the hope he's put within us, the love poured into our hearts, his spirit abiding in us, filling us and overflowing like rivers of living water. If you turn over to Isaiah 14, pretty close by. For the Lord of hosts has purposed. Who can annul it? When God has said something, who's gonna change what God has spoken or purposed? The desires of his heart. And who will annul it? He stretched out his hand, and who is gonna turn it back? Romans says, for of him, through him, and to him are all things. All things were created, Colossians, by him and for him. Psalm 33. The key to that rest is just delighting ourselves in God. Amen. Just delighting in him. Like it says in Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you his desires. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Delight in God and your desires will become God's. He'll give you your desires from delighting in him. He'll give you his desires for you. He'll give you desires for him, for his will. Psalm 40 says, I delight about Jesus. It says his delight was in God and that the law of God was in his heart. And he delighted to do the will. I delight to do your will, O God. But in Psalm 33, I love verse 10, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. So Just in case, you know, sometimes it seems like there's people in our jobs and our neighborhoods who are out to get us. You know, it just seems like they have it out for us, man. They're prejudiced against Christians. And, you know, we as Christians have rights in this nation like everybody else. Hey, just get your eyes off of who's out to get you. It's a bad thing. It's a bad thought process. You're not going to fulfill walking in the spirit of Jesus, who made himself of no reputation, when you're looking at who's looking at you wrong, who's out to get you. They're trying to block you. They're trying to lie. And they're going to get that. Hey, cast your cares on the Lord and put your trust in him. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. You're looking with natural, carnal thinking. That's not what the Lord wants. He wants you to step back, get the mind of the Spirit, and go, you know what? I leave this in Father's hands. Promotion doesn't come from the east or from the west. And sometimes it may look like you're getting shafted, just like Joseph. But if you stay in the right spirit and walk in the fear of God, it could look like you're being shafted, and God is ordering your steps. You might not get to Pharaoh's throne and be second in command, but you're being ordered right into what he has for you. Because if God's for you, man, when you believe that and know that through relationship, if God is for you, nobody can be against you and win. But let me tell you, if God is against you, if God's opposing someone, doesn't matter who's for you. You're finished until you humble yourself and let him have his rightful place. He brings the counsel, not just of that person you're worried about. I diverted to that. He brings the counsel of all the nations to nothing. And I'm just saying, you're worried about that guy in HR? Well, that guy, he hates Christians. Pray for him. Pray for an open door. Take authority. Sometimes, if it's not just being done in the flesh, taking authority in the flesh so you're not perturbed because you're worried. Take authority over the spirits that are in that person and ask for an open door and let the Lord change. Father, change my heart attitude toward that person. Now I'm asking you to open a door for me. Amen. Those are things Father's ready to work in. That's a heart pursuit that wants to be like him, represent him. He's going to work in you that he's going to answer that prayer. Because you're wanting to be like Jesus. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. Don't worry about it. He's in control. His will can't be thwarted. He can't be defeated. There's nothing that ever stops him from being in control and remaining God at all times. We know he doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. Who can live in the past, present, and future all at the same time? He transcends time. He's eternal. He doesn't live in time and space as we know it. He's infinite. His ways, it says, are past finding out. Who has known his mind? Who can counsel God? The counsel of the Lord stands, verse 11, forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's powerful. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. It's one of my favorite verses. Some of you who know me pretty good might already know where I'm going. It's just... I'll give you, if you're taking notes, Psalm 103, verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. He's a merciful God and he pities his children. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 says, he works all things out according to the counsel. But there's more to that verse in the part I'm quoting, but he works it all out according to the counsel of his own will. You know, one of the greatest expressions of faith is rest in God. When you're walking in true faith, you're at rest in God. You're at peace that he's in control. And I just believe it's a time for the people of God, like it says in Hebrews, that there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. He's calling us into that rest where we cease from our works and we're letting God work in us. His good pleasure, His purpose, His timing in whatever the matter is. And again, the answer to whatever, the answer is the same to every problem. I need more of Him. Because when you're praying about something, you're committing that area, that specific area. It could be healing you need, deliverance, whatever it is. It's still, it's in His presence. Get with Jesus. Because what is prayer? Communion. It's communion with God, amen? Being with Him. Verse 11. In Him we've also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him. You have been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things. Can you say all things? All of my things. Can you say that? All things. All things work together for how many things? All things. Wouldn't you say there's probably some things in your life right now that don't look good, that don't feel good, that you might not like, that aren't maybe particularly comfortable? There could be something in your life you'd really like changed. I'm not going to sit here like some preachers do and say, God, if you have faith, He's going to change and make it all go your way. No. He'll work it together for good. Including our failures. Including where we gave Satan opportunity and now it's been made right and we're forgiven and there's been a fee of me. God will take all things, even what Satan has meant for evil, even areas where we have fallen, even areas where we've grieved God and been forgiven. God will take all things. That doesn't mean there's not lessons learned. That doesn't mean we're not humbled. That doesn't mean we don't get a limp. That doesn't mean our sin's not ever before us like David. But He'll take all things and work them together for good from His perspective. Can you say from His perspective? Our perspective and His perspective doesn't always agree. But He'll work it together for good. And our soul will be at rest. We'll be satisfied in God. We'll be complete. We'll be in that spirit of contentment. Because if you don't need anything, if you're satisfied enough with God to not need anything, you're not vulnerable to what's in this world, to what's in the flesh, and all these principalities in this hour. If you're satisfied in God, you're going to be all right. If your heart's not full of Jesus, all these lusts, all these powers, greed, covetousness, jealousy, pride, hatred, all this spirit that's in this world, it is a bad spirit out here, man. You turn on the news for a little bit and you're like, it informs you, but there's a lot of bad news while you're trying to get some information. It's just a bunch of strife and anarchy and all this stuff. We got a word. We got a message and a life to present to a lot of these people who haven't met Him. And the time is short. So I just want to encourage you, don't be caught up in yourself or anything else. Don't be caught up. And remember this, He works all things after the counsel of His own will. So you don't have to try to control things. You can't anyway. Because that's the biggest frustration. We try to control and make things and people go our way. And we get frustrated. It doesn't go our way. I don't know what's wrong with... Just let God control you. Let Him give you victory over yourself, over your flesh, over your appetites, over your stray thoughts. Let God work in you to a place where you have your joy. Your prayer life is at work. You find yourself having the boldness and the compassion and the freedom to share in the body, the word and love, and with lost souls and with neighbors and just being in the way. Find yourself where you need to be in Jesus. And everything else will work itself out, man. If we seek first the kingdom, we put Jesus first. We put Him first as our first love, as that pearl, as that treasure hidden in the field. We let Him be who He wants to be in our lives. It's always well with your soul. Doesn't mean it's all well with your life. There could be stuff going on, turmoil, different things. But your heart is fixed on God. You can't be shaken. You can't be shaken. Just like Corinthians says, unmovable, that your labor's not in work, your labor's not in vain, the Lord. But goes on in that verse. Let me get it quoted right. I love the power of this verse where it talks about the Lord giving us victory. But it says, Therefore, beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. But right before that, it says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're a victorious people. We need the mind of the Spirit to see things from a heavenly mindedness, from an eternal perspective. And it is light affliction, no matter how bad it is in this life, in comparison to being with Jesus in that realm. He calls it for our light affliction, which is but for, what does James say? Our life is but a, man, short time in San Francisco a couple years ago, and they got a lot of fog there. And basically a vapor, it's like, it's there, and then it's gone. Your life is but a vapor. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. We walk by faith, not by sight. And my heart is, Father, increase my faith. I want to be a man of faith. I want to fight the good fight of faith. The faith that pleases God. The faith that trusts in God. True faith waits on God and lets God be God. Faith doesn't dictate. That's what Brother Kyle was sharing when he called the other day. He was saying, faith doesn't dictate to God. It hears from God and it speaks because God's dictating. And we're hearing and obeying. It was a real blessing what he was sharing. Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and stand before the Lord, if you would. Just take a moment and thank Him. Thank Him for His goodness. He's worthy of praise. His name shall be called Wonderful. Beyond human comprehension, marvelous, indescribable. What an amazing God. We're in awe of you, Lord Jesus. You're worthy of praise. Lord, we just come to worship you because you're God, because of who you are, because you're our Father, because you've been good to us. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you're worthy of praise, Lord. Great is our God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah. Great is our God. Greatly to be praised. Lord, we hold you in reverence. Worship you in the beauty of your holiness. Hallelujah, Jesus. My lips will praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Masoro Boshalalabataya Syria. Praise and honor and glory and majesty belong to you, Lord. Maso robo shika tarabariarando. There is no other God like you. Who can be likened unto our God? Great is our God. Greatly to be praised. Oh, you're mighty in our lives, mighty in our midst, Lord. We have so much to be thankful for. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Koroboshi la labatai, la labatori anda si la labatai. Praise to our God, praise to our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. As we're praising God, just believe for sickness to be driven out of your life. Bondage to be broken. Be healed in the name of Jesus, spirit, soul, and body. Praise you, Jesus. praise you. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We magnify and exalt you, Lord. We magnify you for who you are. Your name is wonderful. You're mighty God. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Greatly to be praised. Worthy, Lord. Worthy. Worthy of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Hallelujah, forget not all His benefits. Glory to God who heals all your disease, who forgives all your iniquities. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, yes, Lord, the fruit of our lips giving thanks. Help us to bring as that royal priesthood, that holy nation, called out of darkness into your marvelous light, showing forth the praises, showing forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness. That royal priesthood that brings the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Praise that you inhabit. Praise that you're enthroned in. Praise that drives out the enemies. Let God arise. Praise God. Thank you for your presence. You said my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And Father, tonight, we receive that rest in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, Father. I receive your love. I receive that embrace. And I just say, thank you that we're accepted in the beloved tonight. That we're loved with a never-ending love. Make it real to us and in us. We'll be careful to give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to someone and say, He's worthy of all the praise.